The Gospel of St. John, chapter 18, verses 4 to 11. Jesus, knowing everything that was going to happen to him, went out and asked them, "Who are you looking for?" "Jesus the Nazarene," they replied. "I am he," Jesus told them. Judas, the betrayer, was standing with them. When Jesus told them, "I am he," they backed away and fell to the ground. Then Jesus asked them again, "Who are you looking for?" "Jesus, the Nazarene," they said. "I told you that I am he," Jesus replied, "so if you are looking for me, let these men go." This was to fulfill the statement he had spoken, "I did not lose any of those you have given me." Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it, struck the high priest's servant, and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword into its sheath. Shall I not drink the cup my Father has given me?" The Gospel of our Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Of the four Gospel writers who tell us what happened in the Garden of Gethsemane on Maundy Thursday, only St. John reveals the identity of the disciple who took out his sword and gashed the right ear of the high priest's servant. But if St. John had left that detail out of his gospel the way the other three gospel writers did, would you maybe have been able to guess the identity of that disciple? Would you maybe have listened to this story and thought, probably Peter. Peter had become the unofficial leader of Jesus' disciples, and that's not a bad thing. Just about every group needs a leader. And a lot of the time, Peter led them well. When Jesus asked them who they thought he was, Peter spoke up first and made a bold, beautiful confession of faith. "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And remember, that night when Jesus walked on the water out to his disciples, it was only St. Peter who jumped overboard and walked on the water out toward Jesus. There were other times, though, that Peter's ask questions later attitude did not serve him quite so well. It was very soon after Peter made that wonderful confession of faith that he took Jesus aside and tried to persuade him that going to Jerusalem and dying on a cross should not be part of the Messiah's mission. Do you remember how Jesus responded to that? "Get behind me, Satan." It's a safe bet that St. Peter never forgot that rebuke from Jesus. But I am also convinced that by the time Maundy Thursday rolled around, St. Peter still did not understand it. Because in the garden, we are seeing Peter go down the exact same path. The only difference is that this time, instead of trying to impede God's plan of salvation with words, he does it with violence. Now we know what Jesus' enemies were doing in the garden that night. They hated Jesus. They saw him as a threat to their power, their influence over the rest of the people in Israel. There were also Roman soldiers in the garden that night, but they were not the ones arresting Jesus. The people arresting Jesus were the religious authorities. And they wanted to arrest Jesus and take him to his first trial in front of the court of the high priest. Now, these religious officials were armed. They had weapons in their hands, small swords, probably more like big knives and clubs, because the Romans would not allow them to be armed with anything more lethal than that. Those weapons were enough for them to make arrests of people who were suspected of committing religious offenses and then take them to a trial before the high priest. St. Peter also had a weapon in his hands that night, but he was armed with a sword for a very different reason. He loved Jesus. And he wanted Jesus to know that he was serious earlier that night when he promised that he would never leave Jesus. He would die before he ever deserted him. Peter is full of zeal that he believes is godly and righteous, but it turns out to be misguided. We love Jesus too. And because we love Jesus, it upsets us. It maybe even makes us angry when we hear his name get dragged through the mud and we want to do something about it. When we see Jesus' words being ignored or made fun of in our world, we love him, we want to defend him, we want to protect him. But we need to be careful that we don't go too far ourselves and do something that is contrary to God's word. Now, St. John offers more unique details in his telling of the events in the garden. And one thing that John does in his gospel is make it totally clear who had the power in that garden and who was in control. And it was not the authorities who came to arrest Jesus, or the Roman soldiers who were monitoring them, or Jesus' betrayer. Because instead of hiding in the shadows or heading for the hills, Jesus walks directly into the group of men who want to apprehend him. And he starts by asking them a question that he already knows the answer to. Who is it you want? Well, of course, they want Jesus, but the only reason that they're going to succeed in getting Jesus is that Jesus knows his cross is necessary and the time has come. Jesus declared, "I am he." And the authorities rushed him to arrest him and take him into Jerusalem for his trial, but something else happened first. When Jesus spoke those words, "I am he," they hit those men like a bowling ball, and they dropped like pins. Without lifting a hand, without even lifting a finger, Jesus displayed that he had divine power and he was in complete control of this situation. And he didn't stop there. Because even though he was outnumbered and he was the one getting arrested, Jesus started dictating the terms. "If you are looking for me, then let these men go." He's making good on a promise to protect his own. Now, St. Peter has been standing here this whole time. He has been taking all of this in. He has just seen how Jesus can flatten his enemies with nothing more than his words. And he has seen how Jesus' enemies are acquiescing to Jesus' terms. And yet, Peter feels the need to do something to help. Instead of taking advantage of the terms of escape that Jesus has just negotiated for him, Peter springs into action, draws his sword, and strikes the high priest's servant, cutting off his right ear. What was Peter thinking? One possibility is that he wasn't. He saw someone he loved surrounded by hostile people who wanted to harm him, and his instincts and his emotions just took over. The other possibility is that Peter was thinking. He was thinking about the promise that he had made to Jesus earlier that evening, and he was thinking that maybe the time to keep that promise had already come that night. So he tried to come to the rescue. And of course, trying to help a friend who is in danger is a good thing, except Jesus didn't need any help. And if Peter hadn't figured that out from 3 solid years of watching Jesus perform miracle after miracle, He should have gotten it from the reminders that Jesus had just given him, that Jesus had the power and control over this situation. Peter was guilty of physically assaulting another human being, but that action is really just the symptom of an underlying disease. That action reveals that Peter does not understand, or even worse, he does not trust that God has the power over this and that God is in control of the situation. Now, it may be a little bit challenging for us as modern-day Christians to draw direct parallels from Peter in the Garden of Gethsemane to ourselves today. You know, using violence to try to advance the Christian cause. I suppose we could reach back through the centuries to the Crusades or the Inquisition or more recently the bombings of abortion clinics, but modern Christianity is outwardly very peaceful, and to be honest, I cannot personally think of a single time in my life when I have been the least bit tempted to use violence in the name of my faith. But not trusting that God is in control, that I can relate to very easily. Thinking that we need to do something to help God out, that is a trap that Christians fall into all the time. Oh, if we could just elect the right leaders and get the right legislation passed, we'd get back to the good old days when this was a Christian country. Ugh, yuck. Gross. As if any law ever converted a heart to Christianity. Well, if only our congregation would have more programs for families and maybe talk a little less about sin, maybe we could grow, we could thrive like that other church across town. Ugh, it's gross. As if any program ever grew the kingdom of God. If only I did X, if only we did Y and Z. If you want to see the problem with that line of thinking, just look at the pronouns, I and we. So you don't have to swing a sword around to be able to relate to Peter in the Garden of Gethsemane. And I'm sure we can all find times in our life when our thinking has been misguided. Now, of course, God wants us to be full of zeal for Him. And of course, God wants us to put our faith into action. But before we put our faith into action, He wants us to put our trust in Him. And to understand how fast things go sideways when we don't. Now, Jesus reprimanded Peter, "Put your sword away. Shall I not drink the cup the Father has given me?" See, Jesus understands what is at stake. He has prayed for the cup of suffering to pass, and it has not. So now Jesus understands that there is one way, and there is one way only for sins to be forgiven, and that is for Him to be arrested on this night and executed on the next day. And now Jesus is willingly taking that cup of suffering into His own hands and draining it out of love for His Father and all of His followers, from Peter down to you and me. So St. John, in his gospel, tells us a lot of things that the other three gospel writers did not about what happened in Gethsemane, but it is only St. Luke who reports that after Peter cut off Malchus's ear, Jesus reached out His hand and healed the high priest's servant. And that was Jesus' last miracle before His crucifixion. Why did Jesus do that? Why did He help a man who wanted him dead? Because that's who Jesus is, and that's what Jesus does. He came into this world to seek and to save the lost, who were the enemies of God. It's the same reason why, just a few hours after reaching out His hand to heal Malchus, He reached out His hand one last time to heal our souls. Amen.